Well, good morning. How wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord in this beautiful Advent season. And thank you, Terry, for that powerful song. We love you and appreciate you deeply. And Terry means a lot to each and every one of us. And to have the courage after retirement to pick up the guitar and to be learning and sharing with us at the same time. Takes a lot of courage. Thank you, Terry, for being that example for us, and we appreciate all that you're doing for the kingdom. Before we get into the message this morning, I did want to draw our attention back to the bulletin for just a moment. There is a little insert in there, and on that insert it says, we need volunteers. That means some of you, volunteers, to help clean the following areas in the church. We got the bathrooms and foyers here at the front of the church and of course down at the other end of the church as well. And so we're looking for some volunteers to help us out there. And we know the Lord will bless you tremendously for doing so. And so if the Lord's speaking to you about doing some cleaning, I would love to hear from you. And you might ever know, you might hear from me. So we would appreciate if you would help us out there. And we know the Lord will tremendously bless. And of course, we want to remind you of the youth and young adult program this evening. I want to encourage you to come out and support them as they share with us and how encouraging it is to us in this Christmas season. Hopefully it's part of your experience of the season and worshiping Christ during the Advent. And so we hope you'll come out and join us this evening. We also want to draw your attention to the back of the bulletin. I know Dean's already mentioned it this morning, and boy, what a beautiful Christmas gift for the church of the roof being paid off here in December. And I know that we're excited about that, but I want to draw your attention to about four lines above that, to the mortgage balance. I don't know if you've been following the mortgage balance or not, but we've come to $60,000. Just a little over on the mortgage of the church. I don't know about you, but as we look back through the past, we made great strides. And I thought, well, now the roof's paid off, we can turn our attention to the mortgage. Keep smiling. And if you got an extra $60,000 laying around that you just don't know what to do with this Christmas, well, why don't you just gift that to the church? And wouldn't that be an awesome gift? Told you I was looking for volunteers, but maybe somebody out there listening this morning or see on the live stream has a little bit of extra money laying around and just want to bless the kingdom. What a tremendous thing it is. But just to know how faithful God has been to us as a church is amazing. And we need to praise Him in this season and every season for His goodness to us as He continues to bless us and not only the church, but individually, and just so wonderful to know the Lord. Well, it certainly is good to be back with you this morning. Anytime I'm not in the pulpit on a Sunday morning here at Dover Hill, it's just different. It's not the same thing. And I even though we had a tremendous experience in Florida, sharing in the prison system there, it was a unique and interesting experience, and had a lot of fun doing so. But it's always good to be home with my family. And I was there with part of my family. The Smiths are my family. You're my family. And but it's just good to be back thinking about the Christmas season and all the wonderful things we have unfolding here in the church in the next few weeks. And as we worship the Lord, how exciting that should be. And hopefully we have a tremendous sense of anticipation as we continue our Advent journey. A few weeks ago, we began this journey considering the promise of Advent as we looked into Genesis at that first Old Testament reference to the coming of the Messiah. And so as we continue this journey, let's look at the anticipation. Dave already talked a little bit about anticipation. That's a little bit what we're going to be talking about this morning of Advent. And that's really what Advent really is all about, is a sense of anticipation. And so I hope you're coming to this Christmas season with great anticipation. After all, it is the greatest time of the year, well, at least in my opinion. And so let's think about anticipation for just a minute, if we could. Anticipation is a word with a deep, deep meaning. It is the act of anticipating with great expectation or hope. Or it is a sense of longing. When we say we have anticipation, we have a longing for something, a desire for something to come about or to happen. And so it's a sense of anticipation. I learned anticipation as a young child. When I first really encountered anticipation, I had no idea that it was called anticipation, but that's what it was. I know you've heard this story before, but you can get to hear it again today. We were in somewhere around Columbus, Ohio, and I'm not even exactly sure how old I was, but it was Christmas Eve, and we was with my dad's family, I believe at my Aunt Millie's house, for Christmas dinner with them, and my grandpa Schlegel was there, and it was getting later in the evening, and of course it's Christmas Eve. You need to be home. You know how that unfolds. Because this year was the year that I asked for the best thing ever. He's visited before. Dave mentioned Sears, and I couldn't help but think about Sears. Sears used to have the toy box. You can't even go to it. There's not very many Sears left anymore, but every Christmas they used to have the toy box at Chillicothe, Ohio. And it was just really a back room in the store, and they put all the Christmas toys back there. But outside that doorway was this big swing, and it had this monstrous yellow bear in that swing, wore a red vest, and it said, "Pooh." And that was the highlight of my anticipation every year, going to Sears, running to the back of the store, and hugging that gigantic Winnie the Pooh. Longed for that every year. Couldn't wait to do that. But this was the year. This is the year that I wanted my own Winnie the Pooh. And so we were driving home from Columbus, Ohio, and it was snowing. I thought we was never going to get home. That longing, that deep desire. Because I knew this was the year I was going to get a Winnie the Pooh. And sure enough, we pull in the driveway, we go in the house, and right there at the tree, all the Christmas stuff, and setting in Mike's pile was the most amazing gift I ever got. Yeah, he's not wearing a red vest anymore. The red vest went a long time ago. But this gift I've had for a long, long time. And every time I open my dresser and he's sitting right there in my dresser, I'm reminded of a tremendous sense of anticipation. Longing. My best friend, Winnie the Pooh. He comes with me every now and then. And so at an early age, I began to understand this thing of anticipation. There was another moment in my life that also brought to my mind a tremendous sense of anticipation and longing. My favorite automobile, and I've talked about cars and trucks often, my favorite automobile is a Oldsmobile Cutlass. And I'll never forget the moment I was driving into Chillicothe on Western Avenue, and I drove by Beaver's Automotive Sale, and right there in the lot was the prettiest green 71 Cutlass I have ever seen in my life. And instantly I said, I have to have that car. We've talked about that car a lot. Yes, this is the green Cutlass that my wife slid across the hood of. This is the one I've talked about so often. And as soon as I seen that car, I turned around. They were getting ready to close at the car lot. I knew the gentleman there. We talked to him a lot. I pulled in there and I said, "What do you want for the Cutlass?" He says, "I don't know. I just got it. You have to wait till tomorrow. You'll have to wait till tomorrow." I didn't think tomorrow was ever going to come. Well, it eventually did. And I bought that 71 Cutlass, had it for many years. That's the car that Becky and I dated in. Boy, that brings back a lot of anticipation. Whew, we won't go there, but anyway, love that car. So Winnie the Pooh and that 71 Cutlass, every time I think about it, in fact, I seen this picture the other day, and I got that kind of, you know, that warm, fuzzy feeling in the pit of your stomach, and maybe a little tear because I don't have that car anymore, but I do have my wife. But I always say, that's the one car I wish I never, ever would have got rid of. But anyway, they come and go. But anticipation is a powerful thing. It stirs us. It moves us. Israel lived in a state of anticipation for a tremendously long time. Israel waited with great anticipation for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, they waited several, and I do mean several, underline, several hundred years from the Genesis passage to the birth of Christ for the coming of the Messiah. We can see some of that anticipation this morning in Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And so I want to encourage you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn over to Luke this morning, if you would. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let's stand together as we read God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, as we begin to understand this thing of anticipation, the longing of the nation of Israel in the Advent season. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. It shares with us, "Now as the people were in expectation, all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptized you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful for this season that we are in. We're thankful for this sense of anticipation, the anticipation of celebrating once again the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And I just ask, Lord, that in these moments, that once again, Lord, that you would stir our heart and there would be a sense of excitement and anticipation about this season. As we think about Israel today and their anticipation, Lord, would you just come and move on us in such a powerful way this morning that we can grasp, deeply grasp this longing for the Messiah. And Lord, I ask that you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. We ask in your precious name, and amen. As we think about the Advent journey in regard to anticipation this morning, we're going to think about Israel for just a few moments and their longing, their anticipation, their expectation of the coming of the Messiah. I asked the Smiths to share "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" with us today so that we can get a sense of the nation of Israel. Even when you listen to that song, it has such a it's hard to explain. It's such a sound, just the sound of it when you hear the song, of longing and desperation and desire. I just discovered actually that there are many, many other verses to "O Come, Emmanuel" than is actually in our hymn book that are very similar in the sense of longing and desire for the Messiah to come. And so, "O Come, Emmanuel" shares with us, of course, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appears." You can hear the desperation. I want us to get this morning this sense of desperation of the nation of Israel. "O come, thou day spring, come and clear and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. dispense the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. O come desire of nations, bind peoples in one heart and mind, bind every strife and quarrel cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. I want us to get grasp this morning, if we can, the anticipation and the longing and the desire of the nation of Israel for the coming of the Messiah. I can assure you this morning that they wanted nothing more than the Messiah to come. I hope we have that type of anticipation as we come into the Christmas season, as we celebrate the coming of the Messiah. But they were longing. They were in a sense of darkness and captivity. The song speaks of clouds, of despair. They were in a very, very difficult place for many, many years, and they longed for the coming of the Messiah. And so as we think about the anticipation of the nation of Israel, we might ask this morning, why such great anticipation? Why such great anticipation? Because the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, would come and deliver them from multiple scenarios. I've shared with you so many times in the Old Testament, approximately 300 and some prophecies, beginning with the one in Genesis, about the Messiah coming and delivering the nation of Israel. They had great anticipation because they was longing for that moment that they would come and be delivered from bondage and slavery from many oppressing nations. Israel was oppressed over and over and over by invading nations. And they longed for this Messiah to come and to set them free. As we understand the coming of Christ in the New Testament, they were under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And they were still longing for the Messiah to come and to free them, deliver them from the oppression of opposing nations. Not only was it about freedom from oppression and bondage and slavery, it was also the fact that when the Messiah come, he would free humanity from the curse of the fall in the garden. And that's where we read to you a few weeks ago in regard to that first prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, was the result of the fall in the garden. Many things brought about by that fall. We don't have the time this morning to get into every one of those. But we know that a curse was brought upon the earth because of the fall in the garden. The worst of them was the separation between man and God. When the Messiah comes, he would be able to put right the relationship between humanity and Creator God. They longed for that. With great anticipation. As you read Scripture, you can see it over and over again. And also because of verses like Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, one of those 300 plus prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to rule Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Prophecies that talk about there's coming a ruler like no other ruler. There's coming one that is going to set Israel free, that's going to free you from bondage and captivity and from sin and from separation, is going to provide for you, is going to take the responsibility of tending to the nation of Israel. One like no other is coming from everlasting, the way God intended it to be. As you think about verses like that and ponder the state of the nation of Israel, you can begin to see why they had such great anticipation for the coming of the Messiah. I want you to know this morning that the anticipation is real. For the nation of Israel, the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah is real. It's not a beautiful story we read in the Old Testament. It's not something that governments have set up so that we can celebrate Christmas and people will go to the store and buy things and give gifts. I want you to know that the anticipation for Israel for the coming of the Messiah was real. They felt it. They longed for it. We even see it this morning in the scripture we shared with you. And so let's consider, if you would, verse 15. And as we think about this verse, we have to put it in context. Israel hasn't heard from a prophet in approximately 400 years. It's been a long, long time. The anticipation was real. Look at verse 15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. I'm going to draw your attention this morning to the thought that the people were in expectation. Expectation is one of the definitions of anticipation. Some translations out there at times use anticipation instead of expectation. But the people were longing. They were looking for the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that would deliver them. In fact, in this moment, as John the Baptist was sharing with them, they reasoned in their hearts about John, whether or not he was the Christ. Maybe John, as they listened to him preach and share the message of the coming of the Messiah, maybe this was him. Their expectation was overwhelming them, overrunning their emotions. And so they looked to John and wondered, was he the Christ? Was he the Messiah? Is he the one that's going to come and set Israel free? They reasoned together in their hearts. But listen to what John says as they dealt with their anticipation. John answers that question in verse 16. And it says, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In a sense, John was saying to the people in their expectation and their anticipation, I am not the one. But there's one mightier than I who is coming, who is, in a sense, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. We know that Scripture tells us that there's going to one that's going to make the way, and that's going to be John the Baptist. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, he says he's so much greater than I that I am not worthy to untie or unloose his sandal. Making this tremendous separation that I am not the Messiah, but he is coming. John says, I baptize you with water to repentance. But the one that's coming after me, the Messiah, the Christ, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Holy Spirit and fire representing cleansing and presence and power. The nation of Israel was in great expectation, looking for the Messiah. Real. The anticipation was real. Note, if you would, John chapter 1, verse 29. This is John again speaking to the crowd. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a declaration. Boy, I wish this morning I could spend the time talking about this particular passage of Scripture. But I want you to understand that John simply was saying from the depth of his understanding, there's the Messiah, the Christ, the one you've been looking for, the one you've been expecting to come, the one that you've anticipated for hundreds of years is here. There is the Lamb of God, the deliverer of Israel. What a powerful statement. The Messiah is here, as we see the announcement from John. The answer to their anticipation. Israel waited hundreds of years in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. And their anticipation was real and genuine. We see right here in the passage that they were possibly even looking to John to be the Messiah. And this Christmas season, I hope that your anticipation of the coming of the celebration of Christ is real, as real and genuine as that of the nation of Israel. And so I wonder today, what are we anticipating this Christmas season? What are we anticipating? We've considered this morning for just a few moments Israel's anticipation. But what of our own? What are we anticipating in this Christmas season? Probably to be honest with you, we're probably not much different than the nation of Israel. There's some things that we're hoping for. There's some things that we're looking for. There's some things that we're longing for. Some things that we're expecting to happen in this Christmas season. The truth be told, in regard to Israel and their anticipation, Israel struggled with the coming of the Messiah. Not the anticipation, not the expectation, but when the Messiah did come, they struggled. Even though John so clearly pointed out, that's the Messiah, that's the Lamb of God, they struggled to accept that Jesus, of course the one born in the manger, was truly the Messiah. Even John the Baptist, who's pointed at Jesus and there's the Lamb of God, as he was imprisoned, sent a message to his disciples and to Jesus with a little bit of struggle in his heart and mind saying, "Are you the one?" Not only the nation of Israel, but even John the Baptist, "Are you the one?" And so if Israel struggled with the coming of the Messiah, and John the Baptist, who prepared the way and even pointed him out at some time in his life, struggled, it's likely, it may even possible, that sometimes we struggle with the concept of Messiah. Because for the nation of Israel, they were looking for the Messiah to come and free them from the oppression of Rome and all the other nations who brought oppression upon them. But this Jesus spoke of a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. and they struggled. John imprisoned, struggling with the concept the Messiah came to deliver, but yet still in prison and soon to be beheaded. Even though we're in this beautiful Advent season, the season of Christmas, where there's so much ambiance of family and food and beauty and decorations and gifts and all that's going on, life is still happening. Some of you might have got up this morning in this beautiful Advent season and still feeling the pain of loss. Some of you might have got up this morning and you're still struggling with difficulty and scenarios that you may or may not have caused in your own life. Some of you might have got up and your world is falling apart. It's completely caving in. And in the back of your mind, you wouldn't say it out loud, or you wouldn't testify to it this morning. In the back of our mind, from time to time, we hear the words, "Why, God?" Why? I've served, I've done this, I've done that, I've followed you. Why? So sometimes we struggle. And so in this Christmas season, like Israel, maybe we need a fresh sense of hope. Maybe we need today to be delivered from something. Maybe we need to learn to trust God again. Because one is coming to deliver us. That one, of course, as we know, has come. We celebrate Christmas because He came. And He's delivered us, or has the power to deliver us from sin, to restore the separation between us and the Father. Yet the anticipation remains. In this Christmas season, there's still anticipation. That anticipation is the second coming of the Messiah. And in that coming, He will remove all pain and hurt and sickness. And so there is coming a day that we will be completely and entirely delivered from the effects of the curse in the garden and the effects of this world. But in the meantime, He has come to set us free from sin and to help us through the difficulties of life. And I can assure you, there's nobody like Jesus. And if anybody can help us and give us a fresh sense of hope and peace and joy and love and to deliver us from the struggles of life and to help us to trust again, it is this Christ, this Messiah in whom we anticipate coming again. I wonder today, do we have great anticipation of this Christmas season and in this Advent season? Do we long to experience Christ anew once again this Advent season? Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Lan if you would just come to the piano. Brian, if you would come and just play softly this morning. For some, Christmas is a joyous occasion with great anticipation and longing and excitement And you know, for me, that's absolutely true. Love this season. Get excited every time I begin to think about Christmas and to celebrate the birth of my Savior. And I hope that's the same for you. But the truth is, for some, it's a much more difficult season because of some of the struggles of life. But I want to encourage you today with that same anticipation that Israel had for the coming of the Messiah, the Deliverer. I want you to know your Redeemer's coming and your Redeemer is here. So maybe today you're in the house of the Lord and you're struggling with something, feeling loss or pain or hurt, or whatever it might be. I want you to know there's a gift for you here today, and that gift is Jesus Christ. He wants to touch and change your life. He wants to do something great for you this Christmas season. If you've joined us online this morning, I want you to know that there's a gift for you. And that gift is Jesus. And He wants to encourage you and strengthen you and help you. If we were all truthful this morning, we all come into the Christmas season with a little bit of anticipation of giving gifts and receiving gifts. A lot of fun in that. Not the most important thing about Christmas, but there's a lot of fun in that. But with every gift, you either have to give it or receive it. And once you've given it or you've received it, the person receiving has to open it to experience it. Once again, in this Christmas season, you've been given the gift of Christ. But like any other gift, you have to open it and you have to experience it. And when we genuinely experience the gift of Christ in our life, it changes things. And so whatever your longing might be this Christmas season, always know that the answer is Jesus. He has a way of moving and working like no other. And so once again, may we come with great expectation of experiencing Jesus this Christmas season. So I wonder this morning, is there anybody that wants to come and pray? Just spend some time with the Lord.